Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's read together verses 17 through 21. And if you don't have a Bible, I always have the Word right up here on the screen. Amen? So follow along with us. And so allow me first to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Cleansed by the Blood. Cleansed by the Blood. Are we there at 1 Peter chapter 1? Let's read together, like I said, 17 through 21, and then we can be seated. And it reads, "And if you call on the Father without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers." Verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Right up here on the screen, saints, I wrote, the blood of Christ is not a subject we hear much about, even though it affects every one of us, especially the way we live and the way we die. And so I have known many people throughout, I'm going to be 60 in December, and by the grace of God, been saved for 30 years, and that's only God's grace. That's only His grace. But I have seen people throughout my life who have died without Christ. I know for a fact. Matter of fact, as a teenager, I saw them die in front of me when we used to be in gangs, involved in drug dealings and things in that nature. That's the kind of life that God delivered me from. I don't know how God delivered you, but the way He delivered me, it was radical, because we serve a radical God. And although many people may shun this topic, saints, and some denominations have removed any mention of the blood from their music, the necessary things of Christ's blood for salvation, His blood still remains. Can I get amen? Whether or not it is applied to our lives will determine our eternal destiny. How many are blessed to know that we're washed in the blood? The heart of the gospel is recorded as we just read right now in 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things. You see, we come into this world corruptible. But when Jesus came, He washed us, He cleansed us, and now He looks at us as incorruptible. Why? Because the blood has covered us. Thank you, Lord. Come on. There are so many things that we've done in our past that nothing but the blood of Jesus could have cleansed us and redeemed us. It says right here, redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold or from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers. There's all kinds of religious folks that won't talk about the blood, but we're going to talk about it today. Amen? But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise God, there was no sin found in Christ. Can I get an amen? And this is why, when you understand the seven feasts of the Lord, we all understand that on Passover, we just read that on Passover, He was crucified. And then he was buried in the tomb. But when he was buried in the tomb, he had no sin. And so they celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leaven meaning a type of sin, but it was unleavened according to that feast. That lets us know that Christ had no sin. And on the third day, we all know that he rose on the Feast of First Fruits. 50 days later, the Holy Ghost was poured out on Pentecost. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. So he, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. But we need to understand why the blood was applied. Why Jesus had to shed. Why couldn't there have been another way? You ever thought of that for a moment? Why does it have to be his blood? And so we need to look up here. Because it's the seriousness of sin. People take sin lightly. But only his blood can wash away your sin. Can I get amen? And so therefore, before we can appreciate the greatness of our redemption, we must understand, saints, the seriousness of our sin. If we belong to Christ, and we do, can I get amen? And repeatedly sin against God, we can expect his chastisement. I know some wonderful believers that go out there and they backslide and then God has to pull them into the whooping shed. Why? Because if you are a true believer, a child of God, and you're out there sinning and he doesn't take you into the whooping shed, guess what? You may not even be his. But if we're not saved, we face his judgment, not chastisement, his judgment. That's a serious matter, to look God face to face, knowing that you never surrender your heart to Jesus. My goodness, that person will face judgment. Why? Because God hates sin. We cannot take it lightly. We can't joke about it, rationalize it, excuse it. Sin comes in many forms, but always it's always an act of disobedience to God Almighty that separates us from him. And sin brings us all kinds of painful consequences. So we have to understand, you know, did you know that man cannot figure out on his own self why he acts like he does prior to Christ coming into your life? It's because of this. It's because it's the nature of sin. And we have to look a little deeper. We're going to look a little deeper to find out why the blood had to be shed for the remissions of sin. And then I'm going to bring to a point where you're going to like, okay, some of you may know this already, but some of you, it's going to be revelation today. Revelation meaning it's always been there. You just didn't see it. And so, number one, the sin nature, it deceives. It's deceptive. Saints, if you and I take, for instance, or anyone that keeps sinning while ourselves, that God, you know, have you ever heard, well, God loves you, he understands, but you're still out there sinning like the devil. Something's out of order. There's not a connection here, is there? There's something that's dysfunctional. And you have to take a step back and you have to re-examine your heart, your life. Why? Because sin is deceptive. The book of Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. So we need a counterbalance. We need help. This is why Jesus came. Can I get an amen? He came to save us from our deceptive mind, our heart that's corrupt all by itself. Listen, this is why you have to teach a child manners and mannerism and raise them up in the fear and admonition. Why? Because they're rebels all by themselves. And if you don't raise up a child correctly, they will be raised up as an adult, a rebel without a cause. Why? Because it's our nature. It's our nature. And so if we keep on sinning while telling ourselves that God loves us and understands, then we have been deceived, thinking that we are the exception to sin's consequences. And that's a lie from the pit. So the nature of sin, number two, it disappoints. Yeah, you may have a little fun for a season, but guess what? That all crashes and burns. Then all of a sudden, woe is me. Especially when you were forewarned, or if you knew, and yet you closed your ears and you closed your eyes and you still wallowed in that sin. No one wants to hear a message like this on a Sunday morning. I'm sorry, but today is not the seven keys of success. Let me show you how you can prosper. Listen, I'm still riding a 2004 Toyota Prius. 236,000 miles on it. Come on. And I start preaching a prosperity message? No, we got to teach about the heart of man. Can I get an amen? We got to prepare a heart to meet the King. I'd rather be with a right heart before God than to have all this junk in the world that's going to burn up when he comes. So the nature of sin, it disappoints. Sin always promises to satisfy, but the pleasure is only temporary, saints. In the end, it'll always disappoint. And then the sin nature does this. It disables you. You know what it disables you from? From enabling to worship God and to praise God and to serve God and to have your mind on him. Because once you've been deceived, you won't want nothing to do with God's word. You won't want no fellowship. You won't even put on no praise music. You'll be throwing in the bumpity bump, 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 bump. Man, there's times I'll be driving down the street. Man, I can hear one of those vehicles from two blocks away. Bam, bam, bam. What's wrong with their ears? It's like, oh my gosh. $4,000 for two speakers. My goodness. It disables. Sin disables. Can I get amen? Saints, people who sin against God lose opportunities and sometimes even their health and relationships. Furthermore, a believer who lives in sin will never become the person God desires or accomplish what he's planned. Sometimes we plan things. Yeah, man, I got it down. Uh-huh. And then it just, why does it crash and burn? Because God's not first. And let me just say this. Have you ever seen people, and they're supposed to be believers, and they just walk around like this, woe is me. And you see them at the altar every Sunday or every Wednesday. They're still right here. You know why? Because sin is a depressor. Oh, yeah. Condemnation. See, condemnation doesn't come from God. Conviction does, but condemnation comes from the devil. And when you start wallowing back into that life again that God's delivered you from, I'm telling you, a spirit of depression will come upon you. You know what? That's God spanking you. Wake up. I'm about to return. How many believe he's about to return? That's right. I know this is not a popular message, but guess what? I'm not called to be popular. I'm the mailman delivering the mail this morning. Hallelujah. And I'd rather see someone be set free. Hallelujah. It's all about being set free, being washed in the blood. Hallelujah. Being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, God. Man. You see, saints, even going to church or taking prescription medication will not help depression that is caused by sin. Although the sadness may be hidden with a cheerful expression, it continues to sap the life out of someone and the vitality of the one who refuses to forsake sin. So, I want my cake and eat it too. So I'll come in here and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But Monday through Friday, I'm going to go home and live like the devil. I'm going to go still drink it and party and shake it. And then I'll come in here and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. That is so deceptive, isn't it? It's very deceptive. And you know what else it is? Our nature, sometimes when you wallow in that, it becomes demonic. Saints, true to his nature, the devil will do his best to entrap us in sin. Listen, we're sinful all by ourselves, and then here comes old Slewfoot. And he sees you wallowing in that. He said, come on, man, I'm going to give you some more. And more, and more. And then you know what God eventually does to a believer? He has to pull the cover for all to see. Wow! That's probably the most hurtful thing for a believer, to have your covers pulled. Or when God calls you to the carpet. I'd rather do what King David did. He could have, you know what? He could have just killed the prophet that came and told him, you are the one that sinned and took that man's wife, his only wife. I'd rather fall on my face before God and repent than to walk in pride. Can I get amen? It's demonic. And guess what the nature does too? Sinful nature is destructive. Although sin takes many pathways, they all ultimately lead to the destruction of people, families, marriages, children, jobs, and even their future. The Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you will reap what? Corruption. God's saying you could avert all that. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. How many believe that God wants the best for you? He created you so that you would bring him glory and honor and praise. That you would live a life of holiness unto the Lord. That your life would count. That your life would be infectious to others. And they would see there's something about you that I want. Everybody's looking for love in all the wrong places. They run to Hollywood. They run to clubs. They run to liquor. They run to drugs. They run to sex. And yet there's no fulfillment in that. The only joy is the joy of the Lord. Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, with power and anointing. Amen. That's when God will get the glory. Amen. Did you know that he wants glory from your life? Glory. Hallelujah. And there's nothing we can earn this great salvation. There's nothing we can actually pay for it. There's nothing we can give unto our life but a heart of gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I don't deserve this great salvation, but you gave it to me anyway. Hallelujah. And then after a life is destroyed, unfortunately, it brings forth death. And we all think that, okay, death means the final outcome in a casket. No. It brings death to relationships. It brings death to marriages. It brings death between a mother, father, and their children. Because the sin will separate. Sin is destructive. Can I get amen? This is why we need the blood. This is why we need the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. It's nothing but the blood. And I got some word to back that up when it brings forth death. Sometimes it's a gradual death, or maybe it comes in an instant. But the Bible says that those who sin will die. Oh, come on, you got to show me that, preacher. I came from a church that's just lovey-dovey. They don't talk about revelation in here. They don't talk about these things. Well, let's talk about it, because it says in Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Take it up with the prophet. He's up in heaven right now. Can you get there right now? I think your arms are too short to box with God. You can't even get 3 inches off the ground. Let alone he's in the third heaven with God. And then in the New Testament, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that God interrupted your life? We were all headed to hell in a handbasket. And he came and...
Thank you, Lord.
He went looking for you.
Yes.
He went looking for me.
Thank you, God.
Oh, that's right. I grew up in the barrios of National City. He came in there looking for me. Some of you, oh, I'm from Piace. I don't care where you were from. He came looking for you. Can I get an amen? And he saved you. He delivered you. Listen, you're here because of what he's done. You're here because of what happened on the cross. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. We're here and saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Only he can do that. So let me ask this question. What is the saving power that brings forgiveness of sins? Something. I know this wonderful brother. I ain't going to blast him up here. But he thinks that if I just give more money, that I can go live the way I want. That's a wrong answer. It's nothing but the blood. Saints, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord made garments of skin to clothe them. They were the first to be covered, and there had to be a shedding of blood. A shedding. It says right up here, look, in Genesis 3:21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Why? Because they disobeyed God. So then all of a sudden, they were ashamed to be naked. Look, they were naked for we don't know how many years. Then all of a sudden, they bit the forbidden fruit. God says, the day you eat of that, you shall surely die. And so their eyes were open, and they go, oh my gosh, that's really you. I saw something else, but now I really see who you are. And they all were ashamed to see each other. And God said, hey, where are you, Adam? They were hiding behind a bush, naked before God. And so what was the fix? He had to kill an animal. There had to be a shedding of blood. And then he covered them with skin. And that's why, praise God, I'm so blessed we still wear clothes today. I'd be laughing at you and you'd be laughing at me. Huh? Oh, yeah. Keep on your Sunday best. That's all I want to see is your Sunday best. Thank you, God. Saints, in this way, he demonstrated that the death of an animal and the shedding of his blood was the cost of covering or atoning for their sin, but it was temporal. Later in the book of Leviticus, the Lord taught the Israelites that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And they were to offer what? Offer the blood on the altar to make atonement for their sins. Without it, there was no forgiveness of sins. And so we see this in Leviticus. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. You see, when God breathed that soul into Adam for the first time, he became then a living being. And so the soul that resides in us, that's what causes us to have life as a soul, our memory, who we are. Since, I think you could go back to maybe 4 or 5 when someone started calling your name and you responded. That's probably the extent of the memory we have, 4 or 5. Someone said, I can remember when I was 3. Really? 3? But let me just say this. The soul that God has given us came into this world tainted in sin. It was tainted. That's why we grow up rebellious. This is why we need to be trained. This is why we need courtesy. This is why we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. This is why many of you, including myself, we were so disobedient in school, disobedient to our parents, disobedient to our teachers. Some of us didn't even get past high school. Why? Because we were just so rebellious. But when Jesus came, he didn't take away and to give us education. He came to cleanse us of our soul. Because it was dark. It was tainted with sin. And God had to cleanse it. He had to wash it. He had to make you all brand new. And the only way that could happen is through the blood. Now, I need you to look at this for a moment. This is what Jesus did. So in the Old Testament, it was a shadow and a type. We just read in Genesis, the first animal had to be shed. And then in the Old Testament, throughout the Mosaic Law, they had to bring bulls and bullocks, turtle doves, and they would have to come every 6 months to a year, and it was temporal. They had to keep coming back, and it was a bloody mess. But look what Jesus did. It's right here. I put it in the Living Bible version so that it's kind of a little clearer. For the old system dealt with only certain rituals, what foods to eat and drink, rules for washing themselves and rules about that. The people had to keep these rules to tide them over until Jesus came with God's new and better way. How many so blessed that Jesus came with a better way? Huh? Look at this. Jesus Christ came as the what? High priest. This better system that we know we have now. He went into the greater perfect tabernacle in heaven. Not made by men or nor part of this world. And once and for all, he took that inner room, the Holy of Holies. He sprinkled it on the mercy seat. But it was not the blood of goats and calves. No, he took his own blood with it. He by himself made sure of our eternal salvation. Now, the revelation that God gave me is twofold. I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this. Because throughout the book of Acts, everywhere the Holy Ghost was preached through the apostles, we have been learning, especially on Wednesday nights as we go through the book of Mark, is what was the theme? Repent, repent, repent. Can I get amen? So there had to be a mind change first, and then God can use that and then accomplish his will for our lives. But I need you to catch this. It says that he took his own blood with it, and he went into the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkled the blood so that today we come by faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and guess what? He washes us in his blood. Now, here's a revelation I got. Is throughout most of the churches, when people cry out to God, one of the things of obedience is after profession of faith, what do we do here? And good sound churches, what do? Then they get what? Baptized. Can I get amen? They get baptized. Now I ask a question. When the Holy of Holies in heaven, the blood was sprinkled, who was there to sprinkle it? Okay. Was the Father there? Was the Holy Spirit there? Jesus. And here's another revelation. When Jesus was on the cross, and when he had to shed his blood, was the Father on the cross with him? Was the Holy Spirit on the cross with him? No, huh? Uh-uh. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the Father turned his face. Why? Because all of our sins were being nailed to the cross for you and I, and he had to shed his blood. And so this is the revelation that the apostles got. Is right up here. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of, that's forgiveness. It's him and him alone. It's the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. It's the name. And it's the only name that can save you. If I were to write you a check, a personal check, and I wrote, let's just say it was for Brother Alex. I said, pay to the order of, and I wrote your father's name for his son. I don't think he would cash that, would he? Bank would say, I'm sorry, who's the son's name? That's the only name. He's the only one and went to the Holy of Holies. He sprinkled his blood in heaven for you.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Nobody else was there but him. Hallelujah. Come on, someone's got to get a hold of this. You might have came from other churches, and you might have got baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, but where's his name? God had to show me this when I was studying. Where's his name? Why are you omitting his name? Because it's the only name that'll save you. Can I get amen? It says right here. Then Peter said to them, repent. Let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness. And you shall. Didn't say you might. Didn't say, well, you know, I'll think about it. You know, I'll just tweet it to you. No, you know, just wait. Just wait on my text. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the promise. Now, this is where God promises. Is unto you and to your children and to all afar off as many as the Lord God will call. And what's the name that will save you? What's the name that you're washed in the blood? What is the name? Come on. What's his name? Hallelujah. Look what it says in Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other. I'm sorry, Muhammad couldn't do it. Confucius couldn't do it. Matter of fact, their bones are still in the tomb. Jesus is the only one that rose again. Amen. Hallelujah. For you and for me. Can I get an amen? Amen? There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's the name. It's Jesus. So just remember that. On the cross, it was him all by himself. And when he went into the Holy of Holies, he was there all by himself. The blood that he shed on the cross. Oh, my goodness. We serve a mighty God. So if you could recall, man, you know, I don't even know what they said when I got baptized years ago. Well, guess what? God is telling you now to be baptized in that only name. The only name that'll save you. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. It's the only name, saints. The thousands of sacrifices offered throughout Jewish history pointed to the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Jesus, whose blood would be shed for the forgiveness of sins once and for all throughout eternity. Jesus came into this world to die, and as he spent his last night with his disciples, as we just partook in communion, he told them that his blood would be shed to bring about salvation. To this day, we meet for the Lord's Supper to remember the shedding of his blood. Can I get amen? Amen. Now let's look at this. There are four words that describe the work of Christ's blood in God's plan of salvation. Four words. That's all wrapped up in the blood. And this is why you got to know your Bible. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. This is a Bible teaching church. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to dig and we're going to find out. Bible says, show thyself approved. Rightly dividing the word. Can I get amen? Amen. Be a workman. Hallelujah. Be studying. Know the word of God, because that's what's going to keep you in these last days and times that we live in. So where are the four words, the key elements that's in the blood? Number one is redemption. Redemption. That's right. Some of you may have some redemptive coupons, and you go to Walmart, and they say, sorry, you missed the expiration date. Oh, man, I thought I was getting 50%. No, that was yesterday. But God's blood is eternal. Eternal. Hallelujah. It's eternal, right? Hallelujah. Saints, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the unblemished, spotless Lamb of God. Just to let it sink into your heart. Once again, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your father. A lot of us were aimless. Man, we were so corrupt, it was pathetic. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without what? Spot. Saints, to redeem means to purchase something back. So guess what? When Jesus shed his blood, and then he drew you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Guess what the down payment was? First of all, he washed you in his blood, and then the down payment was the Spirit of God that he placed in you. You see, the Bible says, without the Spirit of God, when he comes for us, when the archangel shouts, the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with him. Last week, there were some of you that said, man, I'm scared of flights. I take trains and buses, but I don't fly. Well, you better learn to fly. Because when Jesus comes, we're going to be caught up to be with him. Oh, come on. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see all your new bodies. You know why? And when you see mine. Because you know what? We'll stop laughing at each other then. Praise God. But it's a promise. Can I get amen? I can't, man, I love God's promises. Because they're true and amen. Thank you, God. So we're redeemed. Hallelujah. And then the second word in his blood is something, man, that it baffles me. Because how many people do you know when you got saved? And then years later, maybe months later, or somewhere down the road, you see someone that you knew, and you go, no, that can't be you. God saved you too? Uh-huh. Yep, and he blew you away. No, that person, I didn't believe that person got saved. Yeah, that person's, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, winning souls. Because what did he do with the blood? It's called reconciliation. He goes through the land, reconcile people back to him. Those who he has preordained, the foreknowledge of God, the election of God, those who are chosen. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that he drew you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Despite of yourself, he still saved you. My goodness. I love how when evangelist Felipe Relis comes, that one day he came, he said, man, God found me in a dumpster. He went dumpster diving. I said, that's right. He went dumpster diving for me, too. He found me under a piece of tortilla next to a rotten cantaloupe. But he found me. I was in there hiding. Running from God. Many of us were running from God. And then he got a hold of us. Can I get an amen? Saints, it was the Father's good pleasure to reconcile us through the blood of Christ by the death of the cross in order to present us before him holy and blameless. Have you ever thought and wondered that? Listen, Jesus says, I'm coming for a glorious church, washed, spotless. Come on, when you woke up this morning and tried to find a parking, were you really that holy? I gotta walk that far. Listen, or maybe you had a moment of greed or a moment of lust. So how do you conceive that when he comes for a glorious church, there's only one way. It's right up here. For it pleased the Father, Colossians 1:19, that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, that having made peace through the blood of his cross. Look at that. And you, put yourself in that, and you, who were once alienated, enemies, meaning, man, you was out there cursing, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ would come out of your mouth, and you were enemies of the cross. You didn't want nothing to do with church. Man, those folks, man, you know, they're a bunch of holy rollers, laughing and mocking. But that was us. We were at one time enemies, what, to the cross. Look at this. Who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Did you catch that? It didn't matter what condition you were in. When he called you, you were coming. And not only are you coming to him, but he's doing something that you cannot see with your natural eyes. He applies the blood through a confession of faith. Oh my gosh. Look at this. By wicked works, yet he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So catch that. When he comes and when he looks down on earth, he doesn't see your sin, because we sin every day, even as believers. Can I get an amen? Amen. Ain't no one in here perfect here. But when he looks down, all he sees is the blood. Amen. He sees the blood. That's how we're presented to God. It's through his blood. Because without the shedding of his blood, our sin still remains. So figure that one out now. This is how we're presented. It's because of the blood. Thank you, God. He has washed us in the blood by faith. Does that give us a license to sin? No. But it gives us confidence that if we do fumble the ball, God will say, pick up the ball and keep running toward the goal line. Keep going. Keep pressing. Keep confessing. Keep going. I got you. Because in this life, we will make mistakes. Can I get amen? But that doesn't annul the shedding of the blood. Aren't you so blessed that God has a provision all made for you? 2,000 years ago, when he died on the cross, it was all for you. It was all for me. And none of us could see it. We couldn't see it with our natural eyes. We couldn't see it with our natural ears. God had to give you ears to hear and eyes to see. So he has reconciled us. Hallelujah. And reconcile means to bring two people who are alienated back together again. In our case, it was sin that separated us from God. But when you and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and his sacrifice for us, we are brought back into his loving relationship with him. How many of you have just had those moments where it's just you and the Lord, and man, you just weep before him because the presence is just like overwhelming? That's God having intimacy with you. He's loving you. He's telling you everything's going to be all right. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the doctor has said about you. I don't care what your enemies say about you. All that matters is that we are washed in the blood and we're heaven bound. Thank you, God. And so, we've seen redemption. We've seen reconciliation through the blood. What is the third one? Justification. Man, I'm telling you. Listen, you ever been in a court of law? You ever been accused? You ever been indicted? You ever had to go to and stand before a jury? Oh, I heard not yet. That's right. Keep on living, huh? Listen. This is what Jesus did. Is when we stand before God, all of our transgressions from birth till the day we went home to be with him, Did you know everything's recorded in heaven in books? And the key book is your name written in the book of life. But here's what the point I'm trying to make is when we stand before God, God says that the sinner will die and perish. But when you and I stand before God, the Lord steps in, Jesus. I have covered them in my blood. And so they are exonerated. They are redeemed. I purchased them with my blood. I bought them back. And so when we stand before God, it's just as if we've never sinned. Whoo! Aren't you so blessed to know that? How many are so blessed to know that? Come on, quit walking around with condemnation. Oh, woe is me, man. Oh, God. No, we've been redeemed. And Jesus is coming for his bride. And guess what? We are the bride. Can I get an amen? And he has cleansed his church with his blood to assure you that you will be with them forevermore. I can't wait till that day. And it's on its way, saints. Just as if you've never sinned. What? Oh, can you show me that in the word? Okay, here it is. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, much more than having now been justified by his blood. There it is. We're justified by his blood. Hallelujah. It needed to be the blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. You know, here's the purpose why he takes us out of this world. And he's preparing a wonderful wedding feast. It's called the wedding feast of the Lamb. And guess what? You have a table set all reserved for you. And you talking about a party? You think parties down here are good? Man, the party up there ain't got nothing down here. You can forget about the gas lamp on Friday nights. Oh, is that you down there? Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Did you catch wrath? When he takes the church out of the way, now he's going to pour out his wrath. You think we're having turbulent times now? Listen, one thing in the last 5 years, it's been nonstop. Fires in California, floods in the east, hurricanes that whip through. God is trying to wake up the church. Listen, wake up and turn back to me. This whole nation leads the entire world in abortion, same-sex marriage, homosexuality. That's one thing these politicians don't want to talk about. That should be on the top. These are lifestyles of abomination to God, and they will always be an abomination to God. Hallelujah. I don't care if you don't come back next week because I'm preaching this, but guess what? God said to preach it. Hallelujah. You got to preach it. Because those folks need to be washed in the blood, or they're going to have wrath poured out on them. No. You try to bring a message to some churches, they'll throw you out by the nape of your neck. Don't you know that I'm going to lose my congregants if you preach that? That's why we're in the condition that's in. Because the church is like this. They're all on CPAP machines. Saints, to justify means to declare no longer guilty. And the only way this accomplished by God is through Christ's blood applied to those who believe in him. If a person rejects Jesus, he will remain guilty of all his sin. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, every day hell opens its mouth and people drop right in it. Wow. So what's the fourth thing that happens in the blood? Sanctification. So we saw redemption, right? We saw redemption. We saw reconciliation. We've seen justification. And now we're seeing God sanctifying us. My goodness. Saints, Jesus sanctified people through his blood. It's only through his blood that we can be sanctified to God. It's not about being a member to a church. It's not being, well, you know what? I'll just serve here for a bit and then I'll go somewhere else and serve. No, it's about his blood. You haven't been washed in the blood. These four things we're talking about could never happen in your life unless the blood is applied. Look at this in Hebrews. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, because he suffered outside the gate. What do you mean? When he died, he was on the Temple Mount. He was on a hill called Golgotha. He was outside the gate. And that's where he shed his blood, outside of the religious organization. That was a sign that he was going to come and shed his blood for us Gentiles too. My goodness. He did it for us. This is why every day, man, we should be saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Because that's what he's doing. For 2,000 years, he's gathering. He's gathering. He's gathering. And he's about to come. And so all those who have died in Christ, they're going to rise first. They get a free pass first. That's okay. We've been waiting a while. We can watch them go up, and then whoop, there we go. Amen. How many can't wait? You never know. It might be this feast. Wow. God is good. Saints, to sanctify means to set apart. And when we believe in Christ for salvation, we are immediately what? Sanctified by God. But even though it happens in a moment in time, it's also a process whereby God continually sets us apart for himself, transforms us into the likeness of his Son, and he takes one day at a time. Just because you get saved today doesn't mean you've arrived. Can I get amen? He takes one day at a time with you. Some of us, man, we bump our heads in the wall. Bam, bam. But yet, we're still following him. Amen? By God's grace. And so, Christ's blood keeps on cleansing us from sin. Aren't you so blessed that it's ongoing, saints? Man, his blood still flows today. That's right. You may not see it. But in the spiritual realm, man, his blood, hallelujah, is still flowing on our behalf. Although we have been redeemed, reconciled, justified, sanctified through Christ's blood, we still have sin dwelling in us because of our humanness and the sin nature. We get that, huh? We talked about that. Even though it is no longer dominant, we still stumble now and then. And we are in need of a fresh cleansing. This is part of our ongoing sanctification. Because some of us are going to miss the mark. Oh, yeah. That's right. Someone may just cut you off the road and do this to you and do that and say, and then you may just like get out of the car. What's up? Oh, you wouldn't do that now, would you? I'm telling you, we need to be thoroughly cleansed every day. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Lord, keep me in check, God. Keep this flesh down, God. Don't let me sin before thee, oh God. But God, aren't you so blessed that God makes provision for you? He makes provision for you through his word and his word alone. Can I get an amen? Only he, hallelujah, and him alone can deal with our sin. That's right. I don't care what Dr. Spock says. I don't care what Oprah says. I don't care what Dr. Phil says. I'm going to believe what Jesus says. Can I get an amen? It's Jesus that can save you and keep you and keep you whole and make you whole. Can I get an amen? Look at this. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from what? Well, there might be something still, I think. No, that'd be a lie, wouldn't it? The Bible says all. And all means what?
All.
Can I get an amen? Amen? So don't let the devil lie to you. Man, you know what? You just cursed out that lady. What's up? Oh, you didn't. You never have that issue, huh, sister? No. All sin. But here's the key, though. So the next scripture is what's going to set you free. Okay, so we know the blood cleanses from all sin, right? But there's something that we have to continually do. And it's not about a salvation issue. It's about walking right before him. It's about living in the joy of the Lord. It's about staying on the mark. It's about pointing toward the cross. It's about pressing toward the prize of the call in Christ Jesus. So the next verse right here is this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. It's all through the blood. It's all through the blood. Hallelujah. Man, when you get a hold of that, once again, it's not a license to sin. We're going to sin all. This nature is going to sin all by itself. Just give it some time, all by itself. It'll do something that you don't want to do, and it'll do it all by itself. Oh, yeah. Just drive around, and you'll see someone half-dressed, cladded, and all of a sudden, these thoughts come out of nowhere. And you got to just, Lord, wash me, cleanse me. Don't let me fall into that spirit of lust, God. That's right. God makes provision for us. There's no excuse no more. Can I get an amen? Why? Because we are justified, sanctified. We are reconciled. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Some of you still don't get this. So, in closing, I always ask these questions. So let God speak to your heart right now. These questions that I impose upon us is to help us, is to cause us to grow, is to help us get past sometimes situations in life where it's only the Lord that can deliver us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Number one, have you ever taken your sin seriously, recognizing it for what it truly is? Because sin is destructive. It will destroy a person. It will cause you to have sicknesses and illnesses. And then all of a sudden, why is this happening? God's saying, well, look in the mirror first. Just get right with me. And things start falling back into place. Can I get amen? Because sin is serious. Recognize it for what it is. Every one of us deal with something different. Every one of us. Some of it is anger issues. Some of it is jealous issues. Some of it is unforgiveness issues. Some of it is financial issues. Some of it is relational issues. There's all kinds of different types of situations that we can find ourselves falling short of the glory of God. And God is saying, bring that to me. Let me deal with it. You can't handle it no more. It's causing you to grow weary. It's causing you to miss the mark. It's causing you from following me. And that's what the devil wants to do. Man, he wants to jump on your back and be like a little monkey whispering in your ear, God doesn't love you. Mm-mm. You failed. Look at this. Number two, what jokes, excuses, or rationalizations have you used in the past to downplay your sin? Oh, that ain't gonna hurt. Let me just have another one. Or let me just do another one. Or let me just go light another one up. And you know, one ain't gonna hurt. You know how the devil's been so conniving and deceitful? I read a survey that one of the things that even pastors find themselves in is pornography. And remember in National City, they used to have a theater on National Boulevard. It's the blank, blank theater. And so the devil figured this out. I can't get them to sneak into those theaters, so I'm just going to put it on their phones. I'm going to put it on their computer. They could go in the privacy of their own room and go sin up like the devil. That's how deceptive old Slewfoot is. Can I get amen? Amen. This is why the Bible says, guard your heart. Don't let those corrupt things enter in no more. Don't let it play with you no more. It's destructive. It'll terminate you. My goodness. We can't downplay it no more. We got to take it serious. Because Jesus is coming for his church. And we want to be in right standing. It's all about the heart. It's not about influence. It's not about wealth. It's not about how many material things. It's about, is your heart right before him? Can I get amen? Amen. Number three, are you trusting in the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Here's sometimes we fall into this. Somebody has angered you. I forgive you, but I don't forget. Really? Is that what Jesus said on the cross? I forgive you. I'm watching you. No. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You got to let go and let God. Forgive your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, whoever has wronged you in your life. Now's the time to let it go. Can I get amen? Amen. Now's the time. And you know, sometimes the best move is this. Humble yourself. And even though they were dead wrong and you're dead right, you end up being wrong because you haven't humbled yourself in humility and even go to that person and say, you know what? I just need to get right with you. And you humble yourself, and even though they were so wrong, God wants you to reconcile with them so that you have no ought with no one. Because he's coming for an unblemished church. You can't harbor those hates and those things in your heart toward anyone. Can I get amen? I don't care what they've done. I've heard of people, well, you don't know what my dad did to me. You don't know what my uncle did to me. You know what? Yeah, none of us knew what happened. But guess what? That's why Jesus went to the cross for that. To wash you in the blood. To cleanse your mind. To cleanse your heart. To give you a heart to forgive that person. And to let it go. Can I get amen? And he'll set you free. He'll set you free. God's the only one that can set you free. Number four, if not, on what or whom are you planning to rely when you stand before God to be judged? This is why we get right today, don't we? We get it right now. We say, oh, God, I need you, Lord, to help me right all the wrongs. So I can just check off these things. Yeah, you know what, Lord? Thank you for allowing me to deal with this issue. Thank you, God. I checked this box. I checked it. Yeah, God, thank you. Oh, hold on. Forgive me, brother. Get it right. Get it right. And then you know what? The joy of the Lord will become your strength. God will reestablish your prayer life again. Hallelujah. Some of you haven't spoken in tongues in I don't know how long. Some of you are in a dry place. God says, I want to water that again. But you got to get the callus and all that junk out. Give it to me and let me wash it. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name or were you baptized in the titles? Because we just read, he went to the Holy of Holies all by himself, and he hung on that cross all by himself. So why won't you want to be baptized in his name? You thought about that for a moment? The Father wasn't there on the cross with him. The Holy Ghost wasn't on the cross with him. He was him alone. And then when he got up on the third day, he took his blood that he shed on the cross, and he said, wham, on the mercy seat. All by himself. That's why he's a man's man. Can I get an amen? Man, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And when he comes back, on his robe, it's going to say, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And guess what? His robe is going to be dipped in blood. You know why it's going to be dipped in blood? Because the wrath he's going to pour out on this earth, but we're going to be out of here. And he's going to go throughout the nations and pour out his wrath. Read Revelation. His robe is going to be dipped in blood. Because he's coming back not as a little cute little baby in that manger. He's coming back, hallelujah, with the rod of iron in his hand. He's going to come back to rule and to reign. And guess what? We're going to rule and reign with him. Amen. Man, get excited about that. Amen. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. He's allowed us to enter into the story. Because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet. I want to thank and praise God for each and every one of you that have come out. And don't forget, next door, the sisters got some goodies in the fellowship hall. But listen, if you've never been, hallelujah, baptized, or you've never been, hallelujah, cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lamb, your opportunity is right here at this altar. Amen? Amen. You know why I love the, you know why they call it the altar? And this is just in layman's terms. Because sometimes our hem is showing and we need to go to the altar to get it. Hallelujah. Because your slip is showing. It needs to be altered. In other words, we need to come sometimes to the altar and get cleansed and washed. Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes our life, our walk needs to be repaired. Can I get amen? Amen? Sometimes we have to say, oh God, hallelujah, I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going through something right now, and I need you this very moment. Come on. Some of you are going through some serious stuff right now, and God wants to set you free. He wants to wash you and cleanse you. Hallelujah. You know this altar is always open. Hallelujah. Sister, can you hit number one? We're going to ask and pray for those who are listening on the internet right now. We're going to pray that maybe for the first time, they understand now that only through Jesus Christ they can be forgiven for their sins. Their religious leaders and whatever faith they were in other than the Lord Jesus Christ cannot save you. It's only the blood of Jesus that can save you. If you're here listening to this message, or maybe someone told you and pointed you to the website, or someone gave you a CD, God is calling you. And God wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to save you. Cry out to God right now. Cry out to him right now in faith. We'll pray with you. Just know this, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that'll save you. God has given mankind here on earth to communicate with the Holy God in heaven through prayer. So we're going to pray this with you. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise in the house. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Come on, is Jesus worthy? Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.